week.
We are going to give you the LGBTQ angles on election results as voters from coast to coast reject Trumpism.
The motive for the killings was apparently a personal vendetta. Harvey Milk was a political opponent of Dan White's, an outspoken liberal, and the first gay candidate on the board.
Meet us. Talk to us. Find out that indeed we are not what you thought.
This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Tasmania approves reparations to anti-queer sex law victims, Rainbow Celebration set sail on the U.S. blue tsunami, and recalling the San Francisco assassinations that shocked the world. Those stories and more this week because you found This Way Out.
I'm Marcos Najera.
And I'm Melanie Keller.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending November 8, 2025. Tasmania will financially compensate victims of the state's past anti-queer oppression, the first Australian jurisdiction to do so. The expungement of Historical Offences Amendment Bill 2025 passed unanimously in the Upper House of Parliament. About 100 gay men and trans women were arrested under the old laws against private consensual adult same-gender sex or cross-dressing. Those simply charged with violations are eligible to receive up to $15,000. If they were convicted, they may receive $45,000. If they were fined or jailed, they're eligible for up to $75,000. Tasmania was once considered the worst place for LGBTQ people in Australia. It was the last to decriminalize homosexuality in 1997. It took until 2001 to lift the ban on cross-dressing that was often used to persecute transgender women. Trailblazing Aussie activist Rodney Croom applauded the legislation on behalf of Equality Tasmania. In his words, "This reform will provide victims with financial redress for their trauma, as well as knowledge that the state that once persecuted them now cares about what happened to them. Victims of our former laws faced forced outing, public humiliation, loss of employment, exclusion from family, jail time, cruel psychiatric treatment, exile interstate, or took their own lives." Monash University Professor Paula Gerber is a human rights law expert who contributed to the parliamentary committee's deliberations. As she told the Sydney Star-Observer, "The compensation scheme will never take away the dehumanizing discrimination and deep harm they experienced, but it goes some way to righting the wrongs and acknowledging the state's regret at the mistakes it has made." Tasmania's state government formally apologized for making same-gender sex and cross-dressing criminal offenses in 2017. Victims could have their records expunged. They can now also apply for financial redress. Tasmanian activists and lawmakers are calling on all other Australian states and territories to follow their lead.
Voters in Virginia, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, California, Georgia, New York City, and elsewhere in the U.S. strongly rejected the politics of President Donald Trump in off-year elections. Democrats won many more state legislature and gubernatorial victories than expected on November 4th. Virginians had two options for first woman governor. Abigail Spanberger clobbered Black Republican Lieutenant Governor Winsome Earle Sears, whose campaign focused on hate-filled ads targeting transgender people. Mikey Sherrill defeated Trump-endorsed Republican former state lawmaker Jack Cittarelli to keep New Jersey's governorship in Democratic hands. Both Spanberger and Sherrill have strongly supported LGBTQ equality. 34-year-old unabashed Democratic Socialist Zohran Mamdani created a national political earthquake with his overwhelming election to be New York City's youngest mayor in more than a century. He'll be the city's first Muslim and first immigrant Indian American leader. Affordability was the winning word in his election. Mamdani notably campaigned in all boroughs of the city, including areas thought to be hostile to his candidacy. His strong allyship made him a queer community favorite, and the weekend before the vote, he made several surprise appearances at queer venues. One of them was Poppy Juice, an art collective that affirms and celebrates the lives of queer and trans people of color.
Are we ready to beat Andrew Cuomo?
Yeah!
Are we ready to win a city we can afford?
Yeah!
Are we ready to make history?
Yeah!
Let's go out there and do it. Thank you, my friends.
The 8,000 people of Dowington, Pennsylvania, elected the state's first openly transgender mayor. Erica Dusso defeated Republican candidate Rich Bryant by the stunning tally of 65-35%. She called her victory deeply meaningful and pledged to carry that responsibility with pride and humility. Her online statement went on to say, "I hope it reminds anyone who has ever felt unseen, unheard, or underestimated that your voice matters and that you belong in the room where decisions are made." All three Democrats on the Pennsylvania Supreme Court were retained by wide margins. Their control of the state's high court is seen as a guard against future Trump election challenges. Also protecting fair midterm elections next November, voters in California soundly approved the Election Rigging Response Act, or Proposition 50. The resulting congressional district map will favor Democrats in five jurisdictions to counter the Texas government's move to gain five seats favoring Republicans. Democrats have not won statewide constitutional office in deeply red Georgia since 2006. This time, Peter Hubbard and Alicia Johnson were able to oust two Republican incumbents from the state's Public Service Commission, which sets utility rates and promotes renewable energy programs.
The U.S. Supreme Court is lifting an injunction blocking the Trump administration's denial of the X-gender marker options on passports. The only two genders policy barrier to trans and non-binary people continues to be challenged in lower courts, where its enforcement was temporarily halted. However, it can now go forward as the High Court's conservative 6-3 majority claims in its November 6 ruling. The government is merely attesting to a historical fact without subjecting anyone to differential treatment. Liberal Justices Ketanji Brown Jackson, Sonia Sotomayor, and Elena Kagan dissented strongly. They warned that trans and non-binary applicants could suffer what they called increased violence, harassment, and discrimination. The American Civil Liberties Union is challenging the policy. To Senior Counsel John Davidson, the High Court decision is a heartbreaking setback for the freedom of all people to be themselves and fuel on the fire the Trump administration is stoking against transgender people and their constitutional rights. Davidson pledged, "We will continue to fight this policy and work for a future where no one is denied self-determination over their identity."
The state of Texas can continue to enforce its ban on drag under a November 6 ruling of the New Orleans-based 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. A 2023 measure fines and potentially jails artists and venue owners if minors could be in the audience where what the legislation calls sexually oriented performances are featured. A lower court determined that the language of the law is vague and an unconstitutional violation of the right to free speech. Rabidly anti-queer Attorney General Ken Paxton said the federal court's decision protects children from being exposed to sexually illicit content at erotic drag shows. The ACLU represents plaintiffs challenging the ban. Its statement called the decision heartbreaking for drag performers, small businesses, and every Texan who believes in free expression. Vowing to persist until the law is struck down, it declared, "Drag is not a crime. It is art, joy, and resistance, a vital part of our culture and our communities. We are devastated by this setback, but we are not defeated."
Finally, British actor and dancer Jonathan Bailey has become People Magazine's first openly gay sexiest man alive. He is perhaps best known for co-starring in Wicked and its upcoming sequel, Wicked for Good. He runs from dinosaurs in Jurassic World Rebirth and runs towards romance in the Netflix show Bridgerton. His stage work includes roles in King Lear with gay icon Sir Ian McKellen. Bailey won the Laurence Olivier Award for Best Actor in a Supporting Role in a Musical for a 2019 gender-bending version of Stephen Sondheim's Company. Offensively bigoted actor Mel Gibson was People's first Sexiest Man Alive in 1985. The list has reflected minimal diversity since then, with selections including Paul Rudd, Michael B. Jordan, Idris Elba, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Ryan Reynolds, and last year, John Krasinski. Bailey came out publicly in 2018 and created the nonprofit Shameless Fund to raise money for queer groups and issues. Bailey's selection was revealed on the November 3rd edition of NBC TV's Late Night, The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. Like most of his predecessors, he took the honor with tongue firmly in cheek.
In 2025, you just think, I'm sort of thrilled that People Magazine have invited someone in to bestow this honor on someone who can really cherish the value of a sexy man.
Yes!
That's NewsWrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending November 8th, 2025. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is written by Greg Gordon and Lucia Chappelle, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Thank you. Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more. For This Way Out, I'm Melanie Keller. Stay healthy.
And I'm Marcos Najera. Stay safe.
This just in, the U.S. Supreme Court is refusing to hear a case that was seen as a threat to marriage equality. Complete coverage of this breaking story next time on This Way Out.
My favorite political story comes from Kentucky,
where election enthusiasm caused voter panic. But first,
you're listening to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine.
And now it's time to set our dials back with the Rainbow Rewind, your look at the moments, milestones, and memories that shape our queer journey.
From hard-won victories to cultural firsts, from the unknown to the iconic legends,
we celebrate the people and events that remind us how far we've come and how far we still shine. I'm Brian DeShazer.
And I'm Sherry Lunn. This week, we celebrate two innovators. Born November 9, 1934, Del Martin, co-founder of the Daughters of Bilitis, the first lesbian civil and political rights organization in the United States.
And born November 4, 1946, Robert Mapplethorpe, openly gay renowned photographer who left an indelible mark through his art and bold exploration of sexuality, the male body, and identity.
Now, let's rewind to some key queer moments. On November 9, 1989, the Berlin Wall fell, and LGBTQ activists from both East and West Germany soon joined forces to fight for equality across the newly united country.
And on November 12, 2020, the U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments in Fulton versus City of Philadelphia, a major case about whether religiously affiliated foster agencies could exclude same-sex couples. In a win for LGBTQ rights, the Supreme Court ruled unanimously in favor of Fulton.
That's this week's Rainbow Rewind.
Because our stories aren't just in the past, they're the pride that powers our future. I'm Brian DeShazer.
And I'm Sherry Lunn. Stay tuned. More This Way Out is just ahead.
Our listeners support This Way Out in many ways.
By subscribing to our e-newsletter.
Email us at info@thiswayout.org.
And through your financial contributions to our program.
More information about how you can give is online at thiswayout.org.
Thank you.
Glass was shattered at San Francisco's City Hall on May 21, 1979, but the uprising really began the previous November, as This Way Out's Greg Gordon reported.
As president of the Board of Supervisors, it's my duty to make this announcement.
Our story begins on Monday, November 27, 1978.
Both Mayor Moscone and Supervisor Harvey Milk have been shot and killed. The suspect is Supervisor Dan White. Dan White has turned himself into police and is now under 24-hour suicide surveillance. The motive for the killings was apparently a personal vendetta. This morning, Moscone was to hold a press conference to announce the appointment of a supervisor to fill White's position. White had resigned from the board earlier this month, claiming that the salary was inadequate for him to support his family. Later, he changed his mind and asked to have the position back. Though Moscone had the option to reappoint White, a conservative voice on the board, the mayor had expressed interest in several other candidates. Milk was a political opponent of White's, an outspoken liberal, and the first gay candidate on the board. Harvey Milk was not in favor of reappointing White to his position. For Pacifica in Berkeley, this is Lily Franklin.
San Francisco supervisor and gay rights activist Harvey Milk was elected to the San Francisco Board of Supervisors in 1977. He became the city's first gay supervisor in a city with a substantial vocal gay population. At the time, he said his election would bring hope to minorities and the disenfranchised. Milk said people would say that if a gay could do it, they could do it. Milk became well known during the recent campaign when he often debated Senator John Briggs, author of the Anti-Gay Teacher Initiative. Milk is credited with helping to turn the tide of public opinion against the initiative in the last weeks of the campaign.
To the people who voted yes, listen carefully. Meet us. Talk to us. Find out about us. Sit down with us when there's no pressure of an election. Sit down when there's no hysteria. Invite us to your meetings, to your clubs, to your homes. Find out that indeed we are not what you thought.
But Milk always insisted he was not a one-issue politician.
If I'm fighting for gay rights, then either I'm a hypocrite or I have to fight for the rights of everybody. And once I fight for the rights of everybody, then I have to fight for the spending priorities of everybody, or I'm a hypocrite. And I don't think I'm a hypocrite, and that's why I've been involved in the issues of the district for so long, so hard.
For California Public Radio, this is Rita Schmidt in Sacramento.
As with other defeats suffered by the gay community, there was a response.
From Fruit Punch, the gay men's radio program on KPFA in Berkeley.
An estimated 30,000 to 40,000 people marched from Castro and Market to the Civic Center, where a rally was held.
Tonight in San Francisco, Harvey Milk has died, so we come together for Christmas.
Ollie Near, Joan Baez, and Meg Christian sang for the thousands who came to San Francisco's Civic Center last night to mourn yesterday's assassinations of City Supervisor Harvey Milk and Mayor George Moscone. Most of them were the constituents of the gay community which Milk represented.
I saw Harvey every other day, walking on the street, doing laundry. We had talked together, exchanged ideas. Almost everybody on this street certainly has seen him and had exchanged words and smiles and hellos with him.
I'm very confused because it's really hard to react to what's going on because it's very solemn, yet underneath I'm very angry because I feel this man had to take one faggot before he got wiped off too, and there was no reason to do it all. And I think that the people are shocked, but I'm afraid walking down this street, and we're afraid too. It's just like walking down and who knows what oven you're going to be walking into, and that's the feeling I have.
Dianne Feinstein, acting mayor of San Francisco in the wake of George Moscone's assassination, praised Milk's sense of humor and sense of destiny. Feinstein asked for support from the gay community and unity without revenge or recrimination.
I come here tonight to ask you to take up that legacy and to give you the assurance that as long as I have anything to say in city government, this city will remain a city that strives for human understanding and rights.
And we've been here 10,000
2 days ago, City Hall was the scene of a tragic double assassination. Today it was transformed, filled with potted trees and flowers sweeping up a grand staircase beneath the rotunda. Under their blankets of flowers lay the caskets of Mayor Moscone and Supervisor Harvey Milk, each one with its honor guard of a fireman, policeman, and sheriff's deputy. While City Hall employees watched from the balconies above, members of the public came for a last glimpse of their slain mayor and supervisor. Thousands of people filed past the two caskets, many reaching out to touch and perhaps believe what still leaves many San Franciscans incredulous. There were many eulogies for Mayor Moscone and Supervisor Harvey Milk today, and each one called for hope in the future.
The immediate future turned out not to be so hopeful. Under the principle of diminished capacity, assassin Dan White received a light sentence, which sparked the May 1979 White Night riots.
It has now broken loose. Cops are now bashing heads.
Mayor Dianne Feinstein became a U.S. senator and championed queer rights and gun control laws into her 90s. Dan White committed suicide in 1985, just 2 years after his 5-year prison stint. Harvey Milk's many honors include the naming of a U.S. Navy ship, but it was unnamed by the Trump administration earlier this year.
I think Harvey Milk did a lot. I used to be really afraid. Since people like Harvey Milk and other people like that, it made me realize that I was okay.
That's what election day is all about. The biggest gun we've got is called the ballot box. So if you don't like who's in there, vote them out. If you don't like who's in there, we'll vote them out.
A Democratic blue tsunami rolled into the Trump-rocked U.S. on November 4th. From the cruelty of suspending food aid while Congress deadlocks over health care to the madness of financially backing a corrupt Latin American autocrat, Gay USA's Andy Hum and Ann Northrup assessed the queer victories in the context of the off-year election results with all the appropriate delight and derision.
We are going to give you the LGBTQ angles on election results as voters from coast to coast reject Trumpism.
I've been waiting for this, and it happened. I believe I've sat here for many months saying the revolution is just waiting patiently to come out and trample this guy.
Trump.
Waiting, and it finally happened.
When you take food stamps away from 42 million people, when you have the money that you could spend, I mean, even with the shutdown.
Well, and you're giving it to Argentina.
Exactly. People sort of say, I mean, people become extremely stressed.
Well, it's been building all along. It's been building from the first Trump administration, but it went into high gear this year when he took over again. And from the first day, it's just been people sitting there getting angrier and angrier and angrier and more frustrated. And they finally, in addition to the No Kings March and skirmishes here and there, they finally had a full official way to fight back. And boom, they got him.
And no one worked harder than Zoran Mondani, who just got elected mayor of the city of New York.
Woo!
Now, you know, a year ago, I didn't know who he was. He showed up at a trans demonstration that I went to in the cold in February, and he was just there to support, you know, but who's this?
All right, in Union Square he was there, yeah.
Right. He's an unapologetic socialist. He's certainly an unapologetic Muslim. During his victory speech, he gave a shout out to trans people.
He did.
Got a big roar.
And met his wife on a dating app, and then had several weddings, including one at City Hall that they went home from on the subway. And there are lovely pictures on Instagram of the two of them.
California, Prop 50 passed
overwhelmingly,
and it's going to give Democrats a shot at 5 more U.S. House seats.
Yeah.
It counters the Texas, but Republicans are gerrymandering so fast that they're still a little bit up in that process.
Well, I'm glad to hear people starting to say, look, I think the Republicans have just overall overreached and shot themselves in the foot. But in this gerrymandering, they may be diluting their Republican districts by spreading them out to try to get more representatives. With this kind of momentum that we saw yesterday, I don't want to overreach myself, but it is possible that they are reading this wrong, and they are going to lose some of those seats to Democrats.
In Pennsylvania, we retained three Supreme Court justices, keeping the high court in Democratic hands. Let's go to the Commonwealth of Virginia. Abigail Spanberger beat the anti-LGBTQ lieutenant governor, for governor, the first woman governor in Virginia history. In the lieutenant governor's race, the gay Republican John Reed lost to Hashmi Ghazala, who's the first Muslim woman elected statewide in the country. And in New Jersey, Mikey Sherrill beat the anti-gay, very butch, Jack Chitarelli, who really was awful and totally MAGA. And then in Jersey City, the former New Jersey out gay governor, Jim McGreevy, is going to be in a runoff with a guy named James Solomon for the being the mayor of that town. In Georgia, the Democrats prevailed in two statewide races versus Republican incumbents on the Public Service Commission. Now, they're statewide races, and the Democrats won against incumbent Republicans. And that's encouraging.
Also encouraging, in Downington, Pennsylvania, the voters elected a trans woman, Erica Dusso, a Democrat, as mayor of Downington. First, they said, first trans mayor elected in Pennsylvania. Yeah, well, probably, yes. But my favorite political story comes from Kentucky. The Secretary of State of Kentucky had to put out a tweet saying that he'd been getting a lot of complaints from voters the polls were not open in Kentucky. And he had to inform people, they're not open because we have no election in Kentucky. And no, you cannot vote for mayor of New York or governor of Virginia in Kentucky.
People are so crazy.
Well, I thought it was a great example of the enthusiasm that has been unleashed across the country.
Ann Northrup and Andy Hum are the co-hosts of Gay USA. Find out about their video and audio podcasts at gayusatv.org. Thanks for finding This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. NewsWrappers reported this week by Marcos Nahara and Melanie Keller and produced by Brian DeShazer. The Rainbow Rewind was written and produced by Sherry Lunn and Brian DeShazer. Greg Gordon produced coverage of the November 1978 San Francisco assassinations. Thanks also to Ann Northrup and Andy Helm of Gay USA. Bread, the Tom Robinson Band, and Willie Nelson performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley celebrating their 50 years together, and all the listener donors who make this program possible. Ask us about how you can join them. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email us at info@thiswayout.org, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and the entire This Way Out crew, I'm Lucia Chappelle. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org or wherever you get your podcasts, and on 3CR, Fitzroy, Victoria, KOOP, Austin, Texas, WGOT, Gainesville, Florida, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned, y'all.